My beloved people, this morning our time with you will be spent somewhat in a different way because there are a few things that I would like to bring to your attention. Being mindful, of course, that when we do reach the time of year for the Feast of Christ the King, if we think the year has gone by with lightning speed so far, the remainder of the year will go by with even greater speed. And it will be Christmas, and that will come upon us immediately. And we shall be quite busy. I want to remind you of the All Souls Day envelopes. Don't forget our dead. Don't forget your dead. We do not know the need that they may be in. So therefore, remember them. These envelopes are kept by the tabernacle until next year, when they will be replaced with the new envelopes. Last year's envelopes are still next to the tabernacle with the names of those whom you love most, who have departed. Therefore, I encourage you to make use of this for the sake of the dead. Next Sunday is the Feast of Christ the King. And the Feast of Christ the King, as you know, is the patronal feast of the monastery here. The problem with the world is that it has forgotten the kingship of Christ. The kingship of Christ, let us not make a mistake about this, the kingship of Christ. The Jews of once upon a time looked upon or looked for a Messiah. They looked for someone who would come and deliver them from the problems that they had to deal with. We might, in like manner, look upon the kingship of Christ as someone or something or whatever who is to be here amongst us and to liberate us from our own set of problems in our own day and time. The kingship of Christ begins in our heart, in our hearts. If Christ is not king in our hearts, then there is no kingship of Christ. It is not just a mythological thing or a fanciful thing that we speak of. It is a reality. It is a very definite reality that we speak of. We have been trying over the past many, many months and weeks to try to establish in our hearts the interior life. I don't know that all of us have taken this as seriously as we should have. But if our interior life is not as it should be, there is no point in talking about anything that involves interior life, because it will have no meaning for us. It will just be a duty that we must perform. The interior life does not place duties upon us. The interior life does not have to place duties upon us. The interior life has to do with love. Love does not place duties upon us. One who loves another is not bound by duty. As long as we feel bound by duty, we do not love. Love remains no more than a dictionary definition. One who truly loves is never bound by, I've got to do this, and I must do that, and I have to do the other thing. The lover never, ever speaks of duty. His actions are spontaneous. They come from the heart. And they are real. And they are definite. And they're not manufactured. Beware of manufactured love. It does not please anybody, much less God. So as we try to work for, to establish the kingship of Christ, it has to begin in the heart. Please work to understand that. And your prayer, our prayer, should be that Almighty God gives us the grace to understand. Last week we pointed out faith is a pure gift. It is not acquired by reading or intellectual abilities or by simply pushing a button and therefore have faith. There are many people that think that. You would be amazed at who they may be. Faith is not something that you simply because you have what you are what you are, and that you are important here or there or wherever, and therefore you say, I have faith, or I want faith. Faith is a pure gift, but it presupposes that we have done what is necessary in order to gain the gift of faith. Please excuse the reference, you know very well that it is for the purposes of instruction. But God does not throw his pearls before the swine. So, my beloved people, let us keep in mind what the kingship of Christ demands of us. And that we must be very serious and very conscientious about its fulfillment. And the note that was just given to me, I had forgot to put this in the bulletin this time, that next Sunday, as we all know, of course, is the last Sunday of October, and therefore the time changes next Sunday. Remember, 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 in the fall, you fall back, do you not? So you turn the clocks back 1 hour. If you turn them forward, you'll find yourself in very serious trouble. So you fall back at this time of the year. Turn the clocks back 1 hour. I pray that one day somebody will have enough sense to leave this business alone. But of course, you can't expect too much from those who don't know how to think. We are getting ready. The time of the year has arrived for us to do the things that are pertinent for the season of the year. We have spoken in past years of the home altars. Every home today, I think, because of the situation that we're all in, should have something in its environs that is holy and that in its own way takes the place of what it is impossible for us to otherwise use. In former times, our churches were all around us. And it was a matter of which one do we go to today? Now, this is no longer true. And as I look at you in here, those of you that have come here this morning have traveled, some of you from some very great distances. And this is a serious tragedy, that you are forced to travel great distances in order to observe your religion. Therefore, is it wrong to do the best we can? Are you expected to travel great distances many times during the week? Not at all. What about the times of the day that you cannot, and you wish, of course, to say your prayers, but it is impossible for you to attend the place that is holy? Do the next best thing. Make a place in your home holy. And go there to tell your God that you love him. In the back of the church, in the vestibule, I think there are three of them still there, little altars that one of our parishioners from the Montgomery Chapel makes for us. They are absolutely just for the taking. Take one, bring it home, fix it up, paint it, embellish it, make the cloths that are necessary for it. Make it your little chapel in your own home and go there to receive your nourishment. You cannot come here all the time. What are you going to do in the meantime? Nothing? Make that place in your home a holy place. Pretty soon, next, as a matter of fact, in the next handful of days, we come to the month of November. And November the 2nd is a feast, is a commemoration of the holy souls in purgatory. November itself is dedicated to the souls in purgatory. There is a custom, there is a teaching, there is an observation in our church, a Catholic experience, that for as many visits as you make into the church on November the 2nd, beginning with midnight of November, of the Feast of All Saints, to midnight of the day of the commemoration of All Souls, for each visit that you make to the church during that period of time and pray six Our Fathers, or let's keep it at five for the moment, five Our Fathers, five Hail Marys, and five Glory Be to the Fathers for the soul that you wish to pray for, and reserve an additional Our Father and Hail Mary and Glory Be for the intention of the Pontiff. This is a requirement if you wish to gain the indulgence. It's in the Rakulta. It will appear in the bulletin next week, this instruction more in detail. And for each visit, you gain a plenary indulgence for someone. Now, of course, the requirement is that you come to church to do that. But you have no church. What are you going to do about it? Let common sense begin to take over. Almighty God understands the intention of the heart. And Almighty God is not going to slam the door in our faces when we are so helplessly suffering from the situations that we're in today. Make your little spot in your own homes, your little holy chapel in your own home that should be placed in a very special part of your house. I don't mean that the whole room has to be taken over and turned into a church. Go there to make your visits. And I will be willing to go on record as saying that for each visit you make at that spot, not that I'm the one who makes the law, because I'm not, but I think that Almighty God, in His mercy, in His infinite mercy, will take your effort and make it fruitful. Do not be afraid. Do it. It's the best you can do. It's the best we can do. Do it. An empty purgatory to the extent that it is possible for you to do so. Remember, the day may come, my dear people. The day may come when either you or I might cry out to someone to fall on his knees and say this prayer for me or for you. Whether it be in a church or whether it be in a tiny little nook in your home. Almighty, give it to God, and God will handle it. Do not think it's stupid to do that. Do not think, you know, some people, that got nothing else to do, they'll quote canon law to you. Well, that immediately shows ignorance. And the people who quote canon law, besides it's mostly written in Latin, and they don't know what they're talking about. So let us make or take advantage of these opportunities. Don't hesitate. You don't have to ask. If you want an altar, take one. But fix it up properly. Give it time. Give it effort. Give it preparation. Use it all year long. Christmas is coming. We'll talk more about Christmas as we get closer to it. There is a very warped notion of Christmas that is trying to creep in to our way of life, our Catholic way of life. It depends upon how you understand Jesus Christ, the Christ child. That will determine the kind of Christmas that we're talking about. Our little children must not be denied the little pleasures, the innocent little pleasures that can be theirs. If we take the innocent pleasures away from them, in these days and times, there are plenty of sources that will offer them whatever pleasure they are looking for. And I'm not going to take your valuable time and mine to talk about what these are. You already know what I'm talking about. The Feast of All Saints is a holiday of obligation. And the masses here in this church are at 6, 8 in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening. If you cannot come to Mass on that day, at least try to spend 1 hour in special prayer, reading, meditation. Now, remember, some people think that you can only pray in the kneeling position. Not so. Not so at all. You pray, you can sit down, you can lie down in bed, you can kneel. You can be driving a car. You can be walking down the marketplace. But pray. That's where our Catholic life comes in handy. Let us not be either Protestant about it, nor let us be Jansenistic about it. Let's understand that the love of God and the worship of God depends on right experience. The celebration or the observation of the souls in purgatory as the following day, and that is not a holy day of obligation, but I think that the obligation to pray on that day is equally great as it is for the Feast of All Saints. And the masses again on that day are at 6 and 8 in the morning and at 7 in the evening. Incidentally, the indulgences that we are speaking of for the Feast of for All Souls Day, those indulgences are called totius quotius. And that means as many as, or as many times as. That's all that means. As many times as you make visits to the chapel on during that time period of the midnight to midnight, you can gain a plenary indulgence, provided, of course, you follow the formula for the prayers. Advent is on the way. It won't be long. And let us enter into the spirit of Advent in a proper fashion. We have to be able to understand and place Advent together with the already beginning, has begun, excitement of Christmas, which you cannot avoid. Let us understand how to do it. Let me tell you how, if you remember, if I've ever told you this before, we do not know if our Lord was born on Christmas, the 25th of December. We have no earthly idea. The only thing we know about his time of birth is that it was cold. That's all we know. It could have been November. It could have been in January. We don't know. And we know that at that part of the world, the habits of the weather are pretty much like ours. But that it was December the 25th, we have no earthly idea. Then how did it become established as December the 25th? You see, the church has always been smart. And it knows what to do. Ancient Rome was totally pagan. And ancient Rome worshipped Saturn, the sun god. And the days beginning with December the 25th on were called the Saturnalia, the time when we give worship to Satan. To Saturn, which, what's the difference? Now, these days were without doubt the most debaucherous days of the entire year in ancient Rome. Rome went wild during these days. They had lights. They had trees with lights on them. They had wreaths with lights on them. They exchanged gifts. They did all kinds of things like that. This is history. If you don't believe me, try to be a historian for a change and look it up for yourselves. What does a church do? Does it go out and start preaching Those that celebrate Christmas on celebrate the Saturnalia are going to hell. They are damned people who are doing this, blah, blah, this, and blah, blah, that. Not a word. Not a word. What did the church do? It picked up the baby Jesus and simply put it right on top of the Saturnalia and turned the Saturnalia into the birth of Jesus Christ. And throughout the ages, the church has done this time and time again. And we are still called upon to do just that. In Europe and other parts of the world, they have other customs. That's fine for Europe and the other parts of the world. But for us, this is our custom. And our children should not be robbed of all the beauties that this occasion has in store for them. So I present all these things to you, and for Advent, that we prepare ourselves for the occasion, that we get ready for Christmas during Advent, my beloved people, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Don't go wild as the world goes wild at this time. Keep it tame, but get ready for the celebration, the greatest celebration that has ever taken place on earth. Remember that when the angel Gabriel appeared to that little girl and said, Almighty God wants you to do thus and so, do you not believe that even the angels held their breaths, if angels can hold their breaths? That even the angels held their breaths until they heard the little girl say, I will do it. And so thus began the most important period of time in the history of mankind. Let us go into it correctly. Let us go into it. Don't read a whole lot of garbage that is put out by distorted minds about this and that. Distortion is every place today. Get bigger garbage cans to put things in and throw them away. Don't feel that you've got to read everything that's printed. The thing that you must read that's printed, that's important, look and see if that which is printed is telling you something that will make you holier. If this is missing, if you see in the printed word an attack on anything, even if it's Peter Pan, throw it away. It's worthless and serves nobody any advancement except the poor soul who found it important to write about. He had nothing better to do. We're living in not only dangerous times, we're living in crazy times. And crazy people are running around all over the place. Leave us not be crazy. Let us be children of grace. Let us be children of God, sons and daughters. And please remember that my reference to the house of Nazareth was by no means a passing expression. The house of Nazareth has to be the model after which we model our houses, our homes. And we must learn to pray not so much to the Queen of heaven and earth, to the Queen of all the stars, to the Queen of all the saints, to the mystical rose. That's fine. We can pray to the Blessed Mother under those titles, Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of wherever. Yes, it's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But the most important lady, as far as you and I are concerned, the most important lady of all is Our Lady of Nazareth. She is the one that we model ourselves after. And let us not forget Joseph of Nazareth. He is the one, men, that we must model ourselves after. We'll not even speak of Jesus of Nazareth at this time. My beloved people, we have it all before us. All it takes is the grace of faith, which we must pray for, and without which everything we do, everything we think, everything we believe, everything is worthless. Believe it or not. Believe it or not. Remember the dreadful words this morning's gospel. Many are called. Many are called. But few. Chosen.